All right. Welcome back to another fun-filled, exciting, educational episode of the Keto 911 podcast. I'm your host, Daniel, the Keto EMT. I'm so happy to finally be back after taking a much needed break. It was good to just kind of reconnect and reformat and restructure and get myself back going again for this next season. I got some really great discussions coming your way based off of a lot of the feedback that I was getting through my downtime. So I really just don't want to keep you guys on here too long because I'm not doing them on Fridays anymore. I'm doing these shows now on Saturdays, mainly due to work. So these will be the Keto 911 podcast shows will start showing Saturday morning. So that way, one, I can go ahead and get you guys some info and get you guys through your day. So that way you guys can digest it over the weekend and be ready to start the next week. All right. So I'm going to get into it. The gentleman who I have that I have the esteemed pleasure of interviewing today, I really kind of heard I've heard him speak before on Clubhouse when I was very, very active in there in the past. And man, when I say he breaks down the science of this, of the ketogenic lifestyle, he really, really breaks it down. But he also practices so much more. He has so much more going on. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and go over my interview's bio. His name is Coach Bronson Dant. He's the creator of the Ultimate Ketogenic Fitness. Now, Coach Bronson has been guiding and training people in health and fitness for over 10 years. He started CrossFit around his 40th birthday and quickly fell in love with the variety, community, coaching, and results. It didn't take long for him to realize that learning more about fitness and becoming a coach was the next path his life was taking. Coach Bronson opened a CrossFit gym in 2014, and as a gym owner, he was helping people with their overall health and fitness, and he also developed successful programs to improve his clients' quality of life and physical freedom consistently and sustainably. In 2018, Coach Bronson discovered how an animal-based nutrition lifestyle optimized his metabolic health and performance. Since then, he has designed specific methods to use both nutrition and fitness to radically improve the lives of other people all over the world. Coach Bronson is the author of the Ultimate Ketogenic Fitness book, a complete guide to optimizing keto for a better quality of life. And he offers coaching program, one-on-one consultations, and runs a very successful 10-week health and fitness challenge for people from all walks of life. Now, I'm just not going to that's a big chunk of what this gentleman does, but he also has the certifications as a CrossFit trainer, personal trainer, nutrition coach, strength and conditioning coach, behavioral change specialist, USA powerlifting coach, USA weightlifting coach. Now, those two different things, powerlifting and weightlifting, are two different things. Kettlebell trainer, he's functional movement screen certified, and he's a ketogenic and carnivore nutritionist. So without further ado, I just want to go ahead and introduce to some and everybody else, Coach Bronson.
What's going on? How are you doing, man?
Good, sir. Good. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule and out of your day to join me on the show and to share some of your expertise and your wisdom to our listeners here.
Absolutely, man. Whatever I can do. I love talking about this stuff. So whenever I get an opportunity, I'm always down for it.
Okay. So what got you into the realm of, as per your bio says, you got into CrossFit around 40, mm-hmm. but were you mainly doing a lot more fitness, or were you doing healthy eating? What was the foundation of your health?
My journey mostly started on the fitness side of things. I've been active most of my life. So when I was confronted with the reality that I was no longer in shape and no longer as physically capable as I mm-hmm. thought I was in my head, like I had a vision in my head of what I've always been, like kind of how I identified myself. And then when I realized that wasn't the case anymore. I was 70 pounds overweight. I was sick, weak, depressed, all these things. It kind of was like, yeah, you know, something's got to change. And my first inclination was to go towards the fitness side of things. So I started looking for options to try to get in shape. I did make some changes nutritionally. I think the first nutrition change that I made was, took me about a year, but I tried to stop eating French fries. I was a very large quantity of French fries per day kind of guy. And so that was the first thing on the nutrition side. But the focus really was on trying to just get in shape and get physically fit again.
Good. Okay. So along with that, did you start off with just finding keto and doing that? Or did you, you know, did you just primarily just do the normal exercise methods and weight loss?
Yeah, I just kind of hit it traditional. So I started working out. I think I signed up for like an online fitness nutrition program that was like a 6-month thing. Didn't really like it. Didn't like the workouts. Didn't really, it just wasn't into it. And what happened was I was 38, maybe 37, 38, getting ready to turn 40. And one of the things I wanted to do, you know, before 40 was going on a cruise. I'd never been on a cruise. So went on a cruise for my 40th and, on the cruise met a guy. I'm sitting there on the elliptical on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. I forget what machine it was in the workout room. And I saw this guy over on the corner throwing these dumbbells around like they were nothing. It's like 80, 90 pound dumbbells thrown around. I'm like, what the hell is that guy doing over there?
Yeah.
So ended up talking to him. He ends up being a CrossFit gym owner. He lived in Miami, owned a gym in Miami. So basically the whole week I just spent with him learning about, you know, he gave me some workouts. We did some stuff, completely destroyed me, kicked my butt. I'm laying on the floor like, what happened? And, but I loved it. Like the challenge and learning all the, I'm like, where has this been this whole time? The physical challenge, the ability to kind of just give your all to something and feel like I'm wiped out, but that was fun at the same time. I survived, you know, overcoming that challenge. So when I got back from the cruise, I found a local gym, joined the gym, and that was kind of all she wrote there. So for me, the first phase was CrossFit, finding out what it actually meant to be in shape and physically capable. Mm-hmm. And that's where I really first started getting the mindset and understanding that fitness and trying to improve your health is more than just losing weight. It's about what your body can do much more than how much you weigh. Because I went through, and we can talk about, you know, as we go through this, I went through phases where I was overweight even as a CrossFit gym owner.
Yeah.
And that's part of where the second phase of my journey on the nutrition side came in, is understanding that I was in shape. I was stronger than I'd ever been. I could do a lot more things physically than I could ever do. But then I had also gained another 30, 45, 50 pounds from where I initially had lost. Right. So we know the journey is up and down. It's not a straight line. So, you know, I started out getting in shape, lost a bunch of weight, lost like 70 pounds just from the cleaning up things like French fries, cleaning up things like pizza and pad thai that I used to eat and spring rolls and all that kind of stuff all the time. So just doing the basic from the nutrition side, but not really finding a nutrition methodology, but then doing CrossFit. I lost 70 pounds. But then I owned a gym, and as a CrossFit gym owner, I gained another 40, 50 pounds back, even though I was working out. So I was in shape, but I was still overweight. Okay. So having to then find the balance between nutrition and fitness combined to make everything better is kind of what the next level was. And that's where, for me, it was carnivore. I never really went keto specifically. I went carnivore, even though carnivore is a ketogenic diet. I went from kind of Whole 30 straight into carnivore.
Okay. So great. Okay. So what is carnivore and how does that differ from keto?
So it really, the only difference is it's less carbs.
Okay. So so I'll take it from what I've heard of it. So it's more just protein, lean protein, healthy protein, and not so much as veggies.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's pretty much a ketogenic diet with no vegetables.
My friends who are severe meat eaters are loving you right now.
And it's not even about lean per se. It's really just, it's being ketogenic. The definition of being ketogenic is your body is efficient at utilizing its own fatty acids or even fat that you eat for fuel. The ideal condition of being ketogenic is that you're using your body fat, not fat that you eat. So you don't have to eat fat to be keto. You need to do to be keto is stop eating carbs.
Got you.
Right. So when you reduce your carbs enough, your body has to utilize body fat or fat that you eat for fuel. So that right. is the ketogenic. Ketogenic, if you look up ketogenesis, it's converting fat to fuel. That's really converting fat to ketones.
Nice.
So when we do that, if I have 25, 30, even up to 100 grams of carbs per day, I could potentially mm-hmm. still be ketogenic.
Okay.
If I go down to zero carbs per day, I'm still ketogenic. I'm just, it's the same thing. It's just how much right. do you tolerate? How much do you need to reduce in order to alleviate other things like any immune system issues, autoimmune, right. any inflammation, gut health, all, you know, sorts of other things. So the level that you reduce your carbs really is individual and based on your circumstance. And mm-hmm. the fact that we put labels on all the different things is really kind of pointless because it's all the same. Reduce okay. your carbs, burn fat, get better. That's really what matters.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for breaking that down.
Yeah.
Because you kind of hear so much when you go into these different spaces and you're listening to them kind of break down. And I've listened to you speak before in Clubhouse, and man, you give master classes every single time that you touch the mic. Like, seriously, you really, really do. Because a lot of the times when I, you know, when I talk to folks who are doing keto, and even more so when they're questioning doing carnivore, they were like, well, do you do it? I'm like, look, I don't want to get you to a position to where I say anything wrong. But it just so happened when you had asked me, it was right on time. And I said, look, I know the best person who can break this down. So that way, one, you guys can make more informed decisions about how you go about doing it safely. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, with anything else, you know, when people are just trying to go into a change, you know, they're, you know, as people, we're impatient. They want that. They want to see those results. Yes. They yeah. want to see those results fast and quickly. Like, if I don't see any results, you know, I'm not going to do it. It's a failure. I'm like, look, it didn't take you 3 weeks to gain the weight. It didn't yep. take you 3 weeks to get the bigger clothes. It didn't take that. It didn't take a small period of time. It took a while for you to gain the weight. So it's going to yeah. take a minute for your body to heal itself. So that way it can start to, you know, lose weight. And I always say that, you know, changing the lifestyle, you know, is about getting healthier. You know,
yeah.
the side effect is weight loss.
100%. And that's the frustrating thing about it is it's like watching water boil. You know, when you watch a pot, it takes forever. You know, mm-hmm. the thing is, on the converse side of that is, when you got unhealthy, the process of becoming unhealthy, living your life and doing all the things over the 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of your life mm-hmm. where you got to be unhealthy, you weren't paying attention.
Right.
So it happened and you didn't even realize it. Then one day you woke up and you're like, oh, crap, this is not mm-hmm. where I want to be. So now right. you're making the process of changing it, but now you're aware. So you're watching it happen and it's not happening fast enough. So it's the same thing. It's not going to happen. If you follow me, you look at my pictures where I'm at now from a health perspective, fitness perspective, this is 12, 13 years in the making.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
This is not, hey, I've always been this way. I started out at almost 250 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, I got down to 170. I've got a 70 pound plus weight loss journey. I've gained 15, 20 pounds of muscle in that time. Yeah. So we're talking a very long progression. And I don't regret a single moment of it. It was never a question of if I can get to this point. It was just a matter of when. So
right.
consistency
right.
makes a difference. Focusing on the things that every little step along the way that is a success is what's going to keep you going. Don't look at that big thing and be like, this big thing hasn't happened yet. It's the little yeah. steps along the way that make the difference.
Exactly. I agree with that completely. So breaking it down the way that you did. So if those folks who are athletic, mm-hmm. they're going to the gym and everything, how does carnivore support athletic performance?
Yeah. So again, not just carnivore, just being ketogenic in and of itself. The biggest issues, the biggest benefits of being ketogenic or carnivore is in the things you take away.
Yeah.
Right. It's the plus by the minus. So removing carbs, removing fiber, by definition, reduces inflammation, reduces oxidative stress, reduces your body's need to do extra things. So just as an example, I'll use two things as an example. The core idea of our body needing glycogen to support activity. Mm-hmm. Our body can create glycogen, so we don't need to eat carbs. Carbs are not the same as glycogen. Carbs have to be converted into glycogen.
Right.
So that process creates additional stress. It creates additional stress in our gut. It creates additional stress in our metabolism. And right. that's where inflammation comes from. So when we, it's something called oxidative stress creates free radicals. Free radicals create inflammation, lead right. to cancer. There's a bunch of other things with that. So if we cut out the carbs, we cut out that extra step. Our body has everything it needs. The process of being ketogenic actually provides the process of being gluconeogenic.
Okay.
Right. Everybody's afraid of gluconeogenesis. It's too, you know, we don't want to make sugar from protein and everything else, but understanding that gluconeogenesis actually prioritizes fat first.
Okay.
Gluconeogenesis can use fatty acids in this, the byproducts of ketogenesis. So if I'm burning fat, mm-hmm. number one, that's the primary source of fuel. My body takes fatty acids, turns them into ketones. I use the ketones for fuel. When I'm processing ketones for fuel, there's leftover material that my body can then use gluconeogenesis to make glycogen with. So everything supports everything.
Good.
Right?
Okay.
So right. if I'm eating carbs, that goes outside of that system and has to go over here mm-hmm. and do this whole other thing to make glycogen. So that's where the extra stress comes from. Another example of our body having to do extra work when we eat carbs is when we're plant-based, when we have a majority of our nutrition coming from plant foods, we don't get enough of the materials that our body needs to make collagen. Okay. Which is why on a higher plant-based diet, you need to supplement with vitamin C.
Okay.
Because vitamin C is the catalyst for the things that we get in plants to help our body convert plant material into what we need to make glycogen, or sorry, okay. to make collagen. Okay. So we need vitamin C if we're eating plants. We need it in higher quantities so that our body can take the stuff from plants and make collagen. When we eat meat, okay. those things are already there. So okay. if we're eating mostly meat and we're getting whole meat, you know, we're getting meat and gristle and fascia and all of the different things that come with the meat, all of the things that we need for collagen are already in the food. It's like Prego, it's in there. So okay. we don't need to do that extra process. We don't need to supplement with vitamin C, and we don't have to do that extra step for the collagen yeah. to be utilized. So that stuff is built in. And that's really the benefit of how being ketogenic helps the body. How that applies to exercise is, number one, when you reduce your inflammation, mm-hmm. you can work out more. So you're not as sore after workouts. You can increase your training volume. When I first went carnivore, I was about 44, 45 years old. I owned a CrossFit gym. I was working out 3 days a week, and I felt like I was getting run over by a truck. You know, I was sore yeah. all the time. I felt like crap. I had injuries. I had pulled hamstrings, torn calves, pulled groin, torn labrums, torn meniscus. Like, I was falling apart.
Yeah.
I was in shape. I felt, right. you know, strong, and I could do all these things, but I was hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Within 3 months of going carnivore, reducing that inflammation in my body, mm-hmm. just from the food I was eating, every injury went away, right? The pain,
yeah.
the aches, all that stuff gone. So it's been 4+ years now I've been carnivore. I'm working out 5 to 6 days a week right now at 50 years old, and I feel absolutely amazing.
See,
so
now,
that's what the biggest benefit.
So, and a lot of folks don't know, having that protein along with you also helps with the healing and the regenerative parts of you straining those muscles.
Yep.
Absolutely. Because that's what I was told a lot when, you know, you go to the gym and you're exercising, you're working out, then you get that soreness and it's stiff. They're like, man, you need some protein. Why? Because that's going to help with your healing. I'm like, yeah.
100%.
And stretching.
And that's, yeah. And that's another thing about the protein aspect of going whole foods, ketogenic, whole foods, carnivore is most people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've maybe had 1 out of 100 clients that I work with who are already getting enough protein in their diet every day. Most mm-hmm. people are not getting enough protein. So when you're going True. To a whole foods animal-based approach, by default, you're increasing your protein intake, and that's going to always make everything better.
Yeah.
We need more protein than we're getting. And most people could probably double the amount of protein they're eating in a day and see benefit from it.
Because we all know what the standard American diet is, high in carbs, high in sodium, and high in sugars. So, you know, and I tell folks, even when they're trying to take multivitamins, you're not getting all that you need when you're taking those multivitamins.
Sure.
You know, so
and the sodium's not the problem as much as it's the high sodium with the high sugar and chemicals and processed food, then you have an issue. If you cut out the sugar, again, it's another benefit when we talk about taking things out of the equation. When you cut out the sugar, you cut out the carbs, you cut out the chemicals and the seed oils and all those other things, that inflammation goes down and your body can process and work through all the other things you're getting much better. And then the sodium actually is good for you. We need that sodium. Our body flushes electrolytes, our body flushes water out. We need to replenish with that sodium so that our body can do all the things it needs to do. A lot of people don't realize that sodium is life.
Yeah.
If you're avoiding salt, stop. Like, you need more salt. There's a reason why, and I wonder, everyone, I don't know if this is, everyone knows this, but there's a reason why for very long periods in human history, human evolution, salt was currency, right? Literally, salt was the money of many civilizations because that's what we needed salt to live. And just like, you know, just like now, particularly when you go keto, go carnivore, you get rid of all that stuff, your body starts getting rid of it. The way that we live today, modern society, modern technology, we have completely depleted our soil, our water, our food from all electrolytes, minerals, things like that. So it's highly recommended. I recommend that most people supplement with 3 to 5 grams of electrolytes a day. Mm-hmm. So 3 to 5 grams of sodium, about half of that potassium, about 3/4 of that, or a quarter about magnesium. So there's some level, if you get pretty much any of the major brands of electrolytes, Element, Relight, things like that, they have a good formulation for those things. So I recommend at least 3 to 5 like servings of electrolytes per day, if not more. If you're physically active, I'm physically active, I do 6 to 8, sometimes 10 a day. So it's very hard to overdo it on the electrolytes, but you need them. Sodium is a precursor. Hydrochloric acid, the hydrochloric part of that is a precursor to what we needed in our stomach to digest food, right? Mm-hmm. Hydrochloric acid in our stomach. So the chloride from sodium. There's a lot of things about the hormones, gut health, energy utilization that if we don't have electrolytes, we're going to be running ourselves into a wall.
Okay. So along with, you know, setting up these, you know, these areas, these portions, you know, as far as the sodium, as far as these different things, these are kind of used in the same terms as macros, correct?
You could, sure. How much do I need is the question.
Right. Go ahead.
No, yeah.
So we're using the portions, you know, how much do I need, like using these. Now, is this getting you less nutrition? Let's just say it's me. Mm-hmm. You say everybody's different.
Yep.
You know, when I say, you know, how we use sodium, you know, you have some people that season to taste, and then you have some people that are like pouring.
Yep.
And then they just take off.
That's
to
me.
Where
you just pour it.
I'm just like, okay. All right. Yeah. You know, making sure that you have the right things in your food, you know, not outside of the sodium and everything like that, but, you know, like oregano, you know, turmeric and things like that, you know, and then portion sizing for, let's say, because how I did keto, I did to at least maybe 4 to 6 ounces of a protein.
Okay.
And then I broke it down to having at least 7 to 10 cups of veggies, you know, how I did with that. And I would use like deep leafy greens, like spinach. Okay. Or anything
that. Why that much veggies?
I like veggies, and that's something that when I'm going to use the deep green veggies like that for myself.
Okay.
And spinach and greens.
Sure.
It was one, it wasn't filling. Two, it helped keep me regular. And three, I can, you know, incorporate my protein and everything into it as well.
Yeah.
And I just really love the deep leafy ones versus like broccoli and all that other stuff. But I usually use that metric. You know, and it, for the most part, it really works for me.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you say, do you feel like maybe 7 to 10 cups is in excess?
Well, technically, any of it's excess when it comes to veggies. We don't need it. So we don't need fiber. We don't need veggies. There's three things you're looking for when we're talking about nutrition. Mm-hmm. You want the most nutrient-dense foods that you can get. What by quantity, what has the most actual nutrition in it, micronutrients and everything, vitamins, minerals, all that stuff. The second thing you want is what can I eat that's going to allow my body to absorb as much of what I'm eating? So if I'm eating a full complement of micronutrients, how much does my body actually get to use? Mm. Okay. And then the third thing is I want to make sure that I'm eating things that are going to help me stay full for as long as possible, so I don't feel like I need to graze all day long.
Right.
Because the more I graze, the more calories I take in, the more fuel calories I take in, and I tend to overeat. So mm-hmm. there's a couple of things with that. The most nutrient-dense food in the world, what do mm-hmm. you think it is? Animal meat.
Okay.
Okay. So by quantity, if I have 4 ounces of steak, I'm going to get more nutrition than mm-hmm. 5 bowls of any leafy green.
Hmm.
Okay. And it's going to be more bioavailable. When I eat steak, I'm getting protein. I'm getting fat. I'm not getting carbs. My mm-hmm. body can digest it. Animal meat is the most digestible food that exists. Okay. When right. it comes to plants, there's a couple of things about plants to understand. You okay. can take the quote unquote superfood of kale. It's mm-hmm. the most nutrient dense green leafy green out there, right? Kale, spinach, those types of things. 30% of plant material is cellulose. Okay, so something to think about. Cellulose, we do not, as human beings, we do not have the capability to digest cellulose. So 30% of the most nutrient-dense superfood out there, we can't even utilize.
Wow.
Okay, number one. Number two, most leafy greens are high in oxalates. So they're high in things that are essentially toxic to our body, which makes it harder for us to get the nutrition out of it. There have been studies that have been done that show that eating leafy greens with a high nutrient dense food actually reduces the amount of minerals that are pulled from that food. So if I eat some beans or steak or eat something that's got a bunch of nutrition, and then they test it and say, okay, here's how much your body absorbed. If I eat that same thing with a leafy green, less is absorbed. Well, so you actually get less nutrition. There's things there. Plants do not want us to eat them. Hmm. Okay. That's why there's a big difference between particularly leafy things and stalky things and things like that. That's why there's a big difference between fruits and plants. Fruits right. are usually much more or less destructive to the body. We're not going to get into the sugar part of the fruits, but seeds are designed by the plant world, plant kingdom, to be spread and utilized and everything else, right? So fruits are much less destructive in general. We can talk about fructose and one of the reasons why we shouldn't be eating fruits also. So plants are toxic. Fruit is mostly fructose, which destroys the liver. So that's a whole nother discussion. So if anybody says you need to be doing fruit to be sustainable on keto, you want to listen to somebody else. That's not who you want to be doing. Because fructose is a sugar that is processed outside of your digestive system. It's processed directly by the liver. So fructose is the number one leading cause of fatty liver.
Whoa.
So if you're eating a lot of fruit, then you might want to think about not doing that. Okay. The other thing when it comes to plants is fiber. We don't need fiber. The idea that fiber keeps us regular is essentially a lie. I want you to think about the idea of if I have a hose and that hose is clogged up.
Yeah.
If I put paper or straw or whatever else inside that hose to make the clog bigger, how is that going to help me be regular?
No, you have a good point there.
Right. So the idea is what we want to do is we want to go as bioavailable and digestible as possible. So when we eat animal meat, we don't have to poop as much because there's less to poop.
Okay.
There's less to excrete. There's less to get rid of. Our body's using everything that it gets.
Right.
So if you're 100% carnivore, you may go to the bathroom and do a number two once every 2 days, once every 3 days, because there's nothing for your body to get rid of. It's using everything. So, okay.
No, that's okay. So that makes perfect sense, because you're not using a whole bunch to where you're having to pull it, because your body is digesting. It's pulling everything, all the nutritional value, everything that it needs out of it. So the waste is not going to be small. And even, well, the waste is going to be small, and you don't have to worry about it getting impacted because you're not putting much in there.
Right.
That makes perfect sense. Wow. Now, I'm going to jump into fitness in just a second, but I really want to go into this. So when you're saying, you know, the good quality meats, fish, pork, beef.
Get it. Whatever you can afford, whatever you can do, and keep doing it.
Now, is it better? And then just preference, if you could. Grass fed versus what's
afforded. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Nope.
It's just preparing it to taste, however you want to do it, grilling it, frying it, sauteing it, you know, especially with outside of the the seed oils and all that.
Yep.
Either, coconut oil or avocado oil or some
stuff. Yeah. So if you're getting normal cuts of meat, for most people getting started, just get whatever you like to eat and eat it. Okay. It doesn't have to be lean. Fatty is fine if you want to go fatty. For most people, just making the change, again, it's about what you're taking out. So for most people, just making the change of getting rid of all the stuff that's causing extra stress on their body and just going clean meat is going to see huge improvement. And then at some point in time, you may want to start looking at, okay, how do I manipulate my protein and fat and things like that? But for the most part, just getting started, just remove all the crap. That's step number one. And don't worry about, am I doing grass fed? Am I doing grass finished or pasture raised? Just whatever you can afford or whatever's on sale, just get what you can.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. I had one guy, he just hit me up. He was like, he said, please just let me know. I can go get my meat. He's a good friend of fraternity brother of mine. He constantly tunes in. He was like, y'all talking about meat, right? And I'm like, yes. He's one of those good friends of mine. At this job, they always, when they have their lunch spreads.
Yeah.
He always goes live and he's showing, they up here grilling, they up here doing this and everything like that. He says, Daniel, is it keto? And I'm like, no, put the cake away.
Take the sauces off and you're good. Salt and pepper. That's all you need.
See, now you've given him the pure excuse now. So that way he can eat all the meat, which is good. But along with that, it's more than just eating right. It's more than just eating right. You got to get moving.
Absolutely.
I'm horrible with that. I need to do that myself.
Yeah.
So let's just break down elementary style for everybody else who's watching, because sometimes we just got to take it back to the basics.
Yeah.
What is fitness?
What is fitness? Wow. What is fitness, man? What is fitness? Fitness is a couple things, depending on how you look at it. Number one, fitness is a physical representation. Your level of fitness is your view into your health.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be perfect on all your blood panels. You can go to the doctor and have great blood pressure and have perfect A1C and have perfect lipid panels and have perfect all these different things and be unhealthy. I want people to understand really, really seriously that when we talk about health and fitness, they are the same thing. We're just used to separating them and limiting what we look at for each one. When we look at health, we tend to look at blood work and what the doctor says. When we look at fitness, we tend to think of big muscles, low fat, and six packs. Okay. And it's not that at all. Fitness is your physical ability to function. Okay. Health is your metabolic function. So it's like a car. Okay. If I have a car and I'm putting really good fuel in it, the fuel system's clean, right? Mm-hmm. My filters are good. My spark plugs are good, but I have crappy tires, crappy brakes. I haven't changed my transmission oil fluid in forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. My lights don't work.
Yeah.
All these things. Yeah. Can you say that my car is in good shape? No, the car's I got great gas, and the changing from crappy gas to good gas, I may see an improvement in how my car performs.
Right.
But I haven't fixed anything in the car. It's not until I start doing both. I need good fuel system and I need a good engine. I need to maintain and improve the actual function of how the car works. That's where fitness comes in. And a lot of people get that confused because, you know, unfortunately, everyone's thinking about weight loss.
Yeah.
There are a million ways to lose weight and you don't have to work out at all to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one way to improve your quality of life and gain physical freedom, because that's what we need. We're looking for physical freedom. We're looking for 60, 70, 80 years old, physical independence.
Right.
That's what we're looking for. And you can't do that without fitness.
And that's just as important as nutrition. Just like you said, you're putting the good stuff in you.
Yep.
But you have to make sure that everything else is working just as fine too. It's like, it's like putting good fuel in there, but the check engine light's been on for 3 months.
Exactly. You know? And the nutrition piece, this is the really cool part, is the nutrition piece gets easier to manage if you're also using your body.
Okay.
If you're not using your body, then you have to be way more specific and careful about what you do nutrition-wise, because nothing's being done with the fuel that you're taking in. Your margin for error, the things that your body's doing is much smaller. So if I'm exercising and I go over my fat one day, no biggie, extra fuel, my body will use it.
Yeah.
If I'm not exercising and I'm not getting enough protein, then I'm going to wither away and die.
Mm.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of things that go into these things work together. Nutrition and fitness work together. There's a level of health that I call human baseline level of health.
Okay.
And that is where we are when we're born.
Mm-hmm.
When we're born, we can be considered healthy in most cases. Okay.
Yeah, most cases, yeah.
Nutrition can get you there.
Right.
If you are currently metabolically unhealthy, you're overweight, you're out of shape, whatever it is, you have autoimmune issues, you have gut issues, you have diabetes, insulin resistance, things like that. Nutrition can help you move to that level of I am free of internal disease, internal stress. Okay. Then it stops. It doesn't go anywhere from there.
Right.
If I want to improve my physical ability, if I want to improve my survivability, if I want to improve my immune system, if I want to improve my hormones, if I want to improve my lean mass and my ability to resist injury, if I want to improve all these other things, which we can label as external stress,
right?
Then I need to be in shape. I need to build my physical body's ability to handle things. So nutrition helps us manage internal stress. Fitness helps us manage external stress. And that's where we get into quality of life. Until we add the fitness piece in, our quality of life doesn't get better.
Okay, and fantastic points on all of that. I love this. I love every bit of this. Like, seriously, this is the basic things. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for, one, making it so understandable, because I'm serious. I'm serious. The thumbs up are coming, because one, it helped a lot of people overcomplicate nutrition and fitness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they think that so many things have to be in a line and so many things have to be done in order to be fit.
Right.
So, you know, and I have a couple of folks who were asking me beforehand, they were asking, you know, they're over 50. You know, how do they get started in just, you know, general fitness? How, you know, of course, we always say you got to get moving. You got to get moving. That's easy. Go take walks and everything, you know. Instead of just casually walking, you know, pick up the pace a little bit, get your heart rate up, get that sweat going.
Yeah.
But what things do you recommend as far as the basic starting point for covering your fitness level?
Yeah, everybody's a little different. I think first off, we want to start with your mindset. And that is, if it's not challenging you, it's not changing you. Ooh. So looking for an easy way to get started is probably not the best way to get started. You want to find something that's challenging. So I like to use the 1% rule. And I talk about, find something in your life right now that's difficult to do, that you don't like to do, that you avoid doing, and do it.
Mm.
Do it until it becomes easy. I have a lot of people that I work with who are severely obese. They can't get on the floor easily. They can't walk up and down the stairs easily. So for them, their step number one is start getting up and down off the floor 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day until getting up and down off the floor becomes easy.
Yeah.
So find something that's physically, we talk about quality of life. This is all about quality of life. So if there is something right now in your life that you are depressed about, complain about, don't like to do because it's physically challenging, get good at doing it.
Nice.
That's number one. That's number one. It's easy. You don't need a gym. It's something right now that if you can do that, immediately changes your quality of life when you get good at it. It's immediate. So that's the first one. The second one from there is once you start getting into your head that I can face challenges, I can do something hard, I want to take it to the next level because we are designed as human beings to face challenge. When we avoid challenge, we are creating more challenge.
Right.
That's something I want everyone to understand. The avoidance of discomfort creates more discomfort.
Mm.
You need to understand that. If you avoid it, it will just get worse. It's not the other way around. Okay. So if you want to get better, if you want to improve your quality of life, face physical challenges, give your body something to adapt to. And then the more you adapt to that challenge, the more you'll be ready for the next challenge and then the next challenge and the next challenge until you're doing all sorts of things that you never thought you'd be able to do. I have programs that people can sign up for, monthly memberships for different levels of fitness. So when you go to my website, you can see all the different things there, but I do have some programs. When you get to the point where you're ready to actually do something that's kind of structured and have some coaching and some guidance and actual exercising, then that's probably a good option for the next level from there.
Awesome. Now I got a pointed question for you, if you could.
Sure.
My good friend James, he's asking, how can this help improve arthritis?
Yeah, the biggest thing on the arthritis side is two things. One, going carnivore is the number one thing you can probably do. Eliminate seed oils, eliminate plants, go all animal meat all the time. And it's no guarantee that it's going to help with arthritis, but I know dozens of people personally who have had severe rheumatoid arthritis, not just some aches and pains in the knuckles, but literally... If you look up Mark Stroh, he's got a group on Facebook, a few thousand people in a group. But he was at a point where he literally could not open his fingers because his rheumatoid arthritis was so bad. He's been carnivore for several years now and he runs a farm.
Whoa.
Right. So it's completely changed his life and enabled him. And he's at a point now where he knows, like, if he has, like, I think he said, we've talked a few times. I think he said even if he adds pepper to his food, then he'll have an arthritis attack. Like he's very sensitive to plants. So that's something that you can do. And then the second thing is building strength. I know it's difficult sometimes to move with the pain, but the more muscle you have, the more leeway you have again in that your body's ability to deal with things. So that can help as well. So removing all plants is a recommendation, and then trying to do whatever you can to build more muscle. Is the second thing.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for that.
Yep.
That was my boy James said, wow. Cause that's something. Okay. So definitely building the muscle, definitely getting out, moving and doing the things that are hard. You know, we have to push past what scares us and actually do it.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. That's the only way that we're going to improve. Him, my boy said, thank you.
You bet, James, anytime.
And James, make sure you, I'm going to put everybody that's watching, I'm going to put Coach Bronson's information up in just a minute. So that way, one, you guys can follow him on the social medias and everything, and especially in Clubhouse. I'll make sure that I put his info. If you're on Clubhouse, make sure that you follow him. So that way,
I haven't been on Clubhouse in a while, actually. So
okay. Well,
yeah. If you want to follow me, Instagram and YouTube are probably the two best spots.
Okay, bet. I'll make sure I put those up there for you, so that way you guys can follow him when it comes to the carnivore aspect of things. Because look, I wouldn't bring him up here so that way he can talk if he's not, you know, he's not just a client. You know, he's also, you know, a member of it as well. He lives the lifestyle. It's shown him the benefits. And he's helping people in various aspects of this lead better, healthier lives. So that's why I want to make sure that everybody who gets a chance to listen to it, to see his face, you know, this is why this platform is here. So that way you're not just hearing voices, you can actually see us. And that way you can hear and interact with us as well, because, you know, the world is becoming, you know, more scarce. You know, inflation is crazy. The amount of money that we spent to fill up our grocery cart now only fills up a third.
Yeah. Well, that's another benefit of being carnivore or mostly meat-based, guys. And you may not realize this, and it may seem, I know on the surface, it seems like, oh my God, I can't afford to eat all this meat because it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say per calorie because I don't like using calories, but let's just say per nutrient density, the amount of nutrient density that you get and the amount of satiety, how full you feel after each meal is higher per dollar than not doing animal-based.
Okay.
Think about this. I can go to the grocery store and buy all the meat and eggs and butter that I need for a week, and I'm good. And it's a couple $100, $150, $200, right? I buy a bunch of meat, a bunch of eggs. It's not that I get cheap meat to get cheap eggs.
Right.
It doesn't cost that much. Eggs are cheap. If you go to Aldi or Aldi or Little or something like that, you go to the cheapest places you can find eggs and some cheap meat. It doesn't have to be expensive, and it's everything that you need.
Awesome.
Because you're not going two times a week, three times a week. You're not going and filling up a huge shopping cart. I can go to the store and buy all the food I need for a week and fit it in a carry container. You know what I mean? Like it's not that much.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was one of the next questions was how can you get what you need for a week? And it's just like it's simple, going through the store, getting what you need, and meal prepping. Do you do meal prepping as well, or do you
stagger your meals? So I'm lazy. So it's another benefit of carnivore. It's simple. If you guys are familiar with being minimalistic, it's about as minimalist as you can get. Mm-hmm. I mean, my meals are an average meal for me is a half a pound to a pound of some kind of meat and 6 to 8 eggs. I cook that twice a day, and I'm good to go.
Simple,
right? So if I do, you know, and I work from home, so it's a little easier for me. But if I did have to go to work, then instead of cooking the eggs, like I like to do over easy or over medium, instead of doing that for my meals, then I would just do a bunch of hard boiled eggs and bring those to work with me. I mean, it does not take a lot.
Okay.
When you take veggies out of the equation, everything gets easier.
Okay. And I've been hesitant for the longest time about just doing carnivore, but you piqued my interest.
Yeah,
you piqued my interest. I think I might give this a really good shot. I got plenty of eggs. I go to Sam's and and everything like that. So,
If you go to my YouTube channel, I think I have a video I put up a few weeks ago in my nutrition playlist on getting started on keto carnivore. So I got a couple points. If anybody's interested in getting started, if you get my book, The Ultimate Ketogenic Fitness Book, I have a chapter in there on how to get started. So it's got like 5 or 6 steps specifically on what you need to do to get started and how to approach different things.
Okay. Well, here, let me see if I can't add I'm going to see if I can't add this, share my screen with your, there we go. There we go.
You're getting fancy on us.
Yeah. I'm on PowerPoint. All these Zoom meetings then taught me something. So this is, his website right here is APXS.
Well, don't even worry about that. Just go to ultimateketogenicfitness.com.
Okay.
And that will take you there. So that's my brand, Ultimate Ketogenic Fitness. That's the website, that's YouTube, that's Facebook, all the above.
Has his one-on-one coaching information. It's 10-week challenge. Everything that you guys need to start is right here in it. You know, you can learn more about him, the membership programs, especially his book. It's right here, Amazon, y'all. Yeah, everybody knows where Amazon is, especially the ladies. You know, purchase his book, purchase his items, you know, research him, go learn from the best that's out there. I'm serious. I'm going to scour your page once we're all done here because I really want to learn more about it because, you know, it could be a really, really great benefit. And plus, I like eating animals, you know.
So do I.
You know. I've been eating the food that my food eats for the longest time. So I really, really would like to try that as well.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong necessarily with plants, right? Mm-hmm. Some people can tolerate them more than others. That's where some of the individuality comes into play. The biggest thing, though, is if you never cut them out, you never know if they're bothering you or not.
Right.
So I always recommend that people at some point in time just go zero plants for 3 to 6 months, see how you feel, and see if you notice any changes, and then put them back in and see if you feel worse, if you feel better, if there's no change at all. You know, you may play around with different things, and you may say, hey, you know what? If I have Brussels sprouts, I don't have a problem. But if I have kale, then I feel like crap. There may be different things and stuff like that. So playing around with it. The biggest thing that everyone needs to understand, I wish more people would do, is don't take a guideline and try to stick to a guideline.
Right.
Start with a guideline and then figure out how to modify it for you. Okay. Be your own experiment. Too many people buy into, oh, I have to be high protein, low fat. I have to be high fat, low protein. I have to be 80-20. I have to be this. I have to be that. You don't have to be anything, guys. Find a spot to start and then figure out, if I eat this much fat every day, how do I feel? If I eat this much fat every day, do I start gaining fat? Well, if I start gaining fat, maybe I should bring the fat down a little bit. Yeah. How far down do I bring the fat before I start feeling like crap?
Right.
Find that happy area where your fat intake is good for your energy and good for your health, but not so much you're gaining fat. How much protein do I need? Am I getting too much protein? Do I feel like I'm stuffing myself? I feel like I just eating all the time. Maybe I can bring my protein down. If I bring my protein down, do I feel like I'm recovering well after my workouts? Do I feel like I'm gaining strength? Am I improving physically? If I'm not, maybe I need to bring my protein up. So these are all things. There's no relation to either of them together. So the ratio of how much fat versus how much protein you're getting in your diet means absolutely nothing. Your body needs fat. Your body needs protein. Figure out what it needs for both of them and go with that. But experiment on yourself. That's the key. That's the big thing.
Awesome, man. Man, thank you so much for this. It's been a class, and I appreciate every bit of it. For everybody, as you can see on the screen, this is where you can find him, Ultimate Ketogenic Fitness on YouTube, his Facebook group, fitketofam.com, and his Instagram at coach_Bronson_keto. All right. Y'all, look, y'all check this man out. I've listened, like when I say I have listened to his classes, and when I say it, you think this is just, I've only been able to get this in for an hour. And sometimes on Clubhouse, they go for 3, 4, 5 hours.
There are some long sessions on Clubhouse. Yeah, for sure.
I'm serious. There's some long sessions. And when Coach Brunson went into the details of breaking down macros and then the science behind, I'm serious, man, there's a heavy science behind your health that we need to really, really invest in and put our focus in. So I want to make sure that you guys follow him. Please, please, please follow him. Adam, you know, follow him. Adam, subscribe to his pages. I'm going to do that today. Make sure I subscribe to your YouTube page as well. And share, if it's good with you, I'll make sure that I share your YouTube to my socials.
Sure, appreciate my it.
Social medias as well, because we want to make sure the good information folks are promoted. Okay? So, clicked the wrong one. So, guys. We wound up. I kept them a little bit longer than I wanted to, but the conversation was good. When it's good, I don't like to stop it. If you guys have any questions about what you guys have seen, you can always send me an instant message on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You can definitely email me directly at keto911podcast@gmail.com. And as my good my friend Marshall Johnson says, if you feel so kind to donate. You know, we got to do a sales pitch. My Cash App is $AZSPBS1914. If you see it scrolling right there on the bottom, I can't follow it, but it's down there. If you feel so inclined to donate as well. I'm definitely getting back into my food review period, because they have some great stuff that's coming out, especially with Proper Good Foods and some of the other folks that I've been talking to recently. So you won't know about the good stuff that's out there unless we bring it to you sometimes. That's how I found out about keto, and definitely how I found out about Coach Bronson as well. Oh, real quick, if I could.
Sure. Yeah.
I got one more question that just came in clutch. Mm-hmm. So How does doing carnivore help with fluid retention?
Carnivore itself, number one, reduction of the sugar, reduction of the inflammation is a key thing. Fluid retention is less about sodium, which a lot of people think it is, and more about inflammation. So removing all the inflammation, again, that's the biggest key to this whole thing.
Right.
Remove the extra stress on your body and things will start to work the way they're intended to work. So if you're having issues with fluid retention, cut out the carbs, cut out the seed oils, cut out the processed food, and then make sure you're getting enough sodium every day, and then that will balance out. It's about the fluid retention. When we talk about removing everything, if you're still having issues with fluid retention, then that usually means there's an electrolyte imbalance. And in most cases, you're not drinking enough water with electrolytes. So my recommendation for everybody is if you're drinking water, never drink water that has nothing in it. Always drink water with some kind of electrolyte in it. Even if it's not electrolyte mix like Element or Relight, at least add some Redmond sea salt or something like that so that you get that sodium, get some, a little bit of potassium and other minerals in there with it. So I make it a habit. I never drink water without putting something in it.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I usually do Go Ultima hydration replenisher, the little packets, and the electrolytes and the keto, because they use stevia along with their sweeteners. And now I'm talking about fantastic. Love their stuff. Love the stuff. Well, look, I'm not going to hold you. I know you have a day. I'm about to take these kids out and let them get some energy and get some sunlight.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for having me on, man.
Hey, not a problem. Thank you so much for taking the time out to be with us. Everybody, again, thank you all for tuning in to another fun-filled, informative episode of the Keto 911 podcast. I am your host, Daniel Yakio, EMT. Stay tuned. We got some more educational things going. And for my Medicare eligible people, I'm going to be doing a Medicare 101 class. We're going to break down Medicare. I'm serious. That 200 to 300 page book, we're about to break down everything Medicare for you guys, because today is open enrollment. And I know you guys are getting bombarded with all those phone calls from everybody. I'm here to help make it make sense. Okay.
Nice.
Insurance is crazy enough as it is. It's good to have a translator, and just so happens I'm one. So I don't work for nobody. Full disclosure, I don't work for nobody. I'm not an agent. I just want you guys to be educated and informed. So again, as I always say, people forget your face. They'll forget what you look like, but they'll never forget the positive impact that you've made on their life. All right. Again, thank you all for tuning in. Coach Bronson, appreciate you, my man. Appreciate you.
Take it easy. You too.
All right. Everybody have a great day.